May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 25. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with thy all-quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Number 25.
Let us read together in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 13, the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 13. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them, began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. And when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. And children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, for in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls, and grant to us now the Holy Spirit's help in prayer. Most holy and eternal, ever gracious Lord God, do look in mercy now upon a little company of poor needy sinners, favoured once more to gather in thy earthly courts. And Lord, we would pray that we might be solemnly conscious that thine eye is upon us this night, for thou seest us through and through. For Lord, we are sinners, deep-dyed sinners, and we come to the footstool of mercy, venturing to plead with thee that thou wilt look upon us in thy divine compassion, as we would venture in faith, pleading the precious name, the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus, for our acceptance. Lord, we are unworthy, thou knowest. We have nothing of our own, nothing to merit thy esteem. But Lord, we come, we humbly trust, with faith in exercise in our hearts, looking to the glorious person of the Lord Jesus, the Saviour of poor, needy sinners, and plead with thee that thou look upon him and look upon us in the Lord Jesus Christ. For that is our only hope of acceptance, our only hope of salvation, our only hope of reaching heaven at last, alone through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we now gather at the throne of grace, we pray that thou wilt come and deliver us from all intruding worldly thoughts and cares, the concerns of this day, and oh, do come and separate us from time things. Oh, keep our thoughts, and Lord, we pray that that exercise may be found in each of our hearts, to know the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, drawing us after a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer. For Lord, it is thee we desire to know, it is thee that we desire to view by faith, and we come, Lord, with that petition. Show us the Saviour, his great love revealing. Lead us to him, the life, the truth, and the way. Oh, may the dear Saviour be the centre of our worship this night. Oh, may we be enabled to look beyond self and all that is of the creature, beyond the things of time and sense, and to behold that the dear Saviour, and to see in him, through that great atonement work that he accomplished at Calvary for all thy people, our salvation, the ground of our hope, the foundation of our faith, in that expectation, when called from time to eternity, it will be well. Lord, these are great things we ask. We do not deserve them. We do not merit them. But Lord, our need is great. For we are great sinners, and Lord, thou knowest how many and black those sins are. But oh, we would look by faith to the dear Saviour, to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood that cleanseth from all sin. And thou knowest those sin-stained souls feeling the malady this night in thy house. And Lord, we pray that, oh, that if it could please thee, that thou wilt draw near unto us and speak into our poor hearts a word of love and mercy, of divine compassion. For Lord, thou knowest, we feel oftentimes so far off, so overtaken with the cares of the world, and Lord, often brought low through that conflict within our own poor hearts, our old nature, the old man and the new man. And Lord, we have no strength of our own to keep ourselves in that battle. But Lord, thou art able, and our eyes are up unto thee, and seek that thou wilt, in thine infinite mercy, strengthen our little faith. But, O Lord, may faith be an exercise wherein we are brought to truly lay hold of a precious Christ and to truly believe. Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray, and empty send us not away. Lord, thou knowest those souls before thee. Thou knowest the exercises, the concerns, the burdens, the troubles, the distresses that thy dear people know as they journey through this wilderness. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and break through all those clouds of unbelief and sin. And may those souls be enabled by faith to look to a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, the only source of comfort to the souls of a poor, needy one. For Lord, thou hast said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And Lord, we pray that there may be those words of encouragement, a word of comfort to those tried and troubled souls who long to be delivered from the bondage they feel, who long to be brought into the liberty of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, longing to know that they're found partakers of those rich blessings which are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it's that we come seeking for. Oh, might it please thee to grant a blessing to some soul here. Lord, that some soul may be raised up to a hope in thy mercy, some soul brought out of nature's darkness into thy marvellous light, some sin-sick soul made to know the healing balm of Gilead, the precious blood of the atonement in their soul's experience, cleansing them from all their sins and raising them up to a hope in thy mercy. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt hear the cries, the petitions that have been offered up before this service. Thou knowest, Lord, those who have been on their knees, waiting for a word, waiting for a touch. Oh, do hear those cries, we pray, and come just where thy dear people are, and ere we leave thy courts, Lord, may something be done in our poor hearts, wherein thy name is honoured and glorified. But, oh Lord, thou knowest those exercised ones, how they want a sweet glimpse of a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer. They want a clear view of their interest in him and what he has done. They cannot be satisfied short of it. Oh Lord, hear those cries, we pray. And might it please thee that souls may know that sweet answer of peace in their own soul's experience, that peace that flows through Calvary to poor, needy sinners. Lord, we pray for the young and rising generation. Thou knowest, Lord, those that have gathered here this night and those away. We pray for them all. Do remember them in much mercy. Lord, be with them in their youthful days. Sustain them, maintain them in the path that they are found walking in. But Lord, do keep them from the world, the ensnaring influence of it. Keep them from the enemy to their souls. And may there be found in each heart the tender fear of the Lord. They may be found truly seeking thee, longing to know thee as their Saviour and their Redeemer. Lord, we commit them unto thee. But, O Lord, we pray that thou richly bless them. And may they be found, if it is thy holy will, brought in time to know a precious Christ, the dear Redeemer, and to desire to, in obedience to his thy command, to walk in love before thee. Lord, the work and the power is thine. We pray for those that are afflicted, some unable to gather in thy house. Thou knowest where they are. Those, Lord, away seeking rest and change, we remember them and seek that thou will, if it could please thee, bring them back in peace and in safety. But whatever the paths thy people are walking in, the trials, the tribulations, the troubles and the afflictions, Lord, may they be sanctified to us for our spiritual profit, that we might see thy hand in all these dealings with us. But Lord, that we may be enabled to wait upon thee, to trust alone in thee, and to know that sweet blessing of that gracious enabling, sweet to lie passive in thy arms and know no will but thine. Lord, we pray then for the spiritual prosperity of this little church and people. Lord, we pray that oftentimes thou wilt visit this vine. And as thy servants labour here, we pray that thou wilt own and bless their labours, and that there might be signs following the preaching of the word. And Lord, that there yet may be an ingathering of precious souls. Lord, we pray for those who carry the responsibility here. Remember them in much mercy. Thou knowest their need, their felt weakness, insufficiency, and lack of wisdom. And Lord, we pray that they may be given grace to commit all their concerns into thy hands concerning this little house of prayer, the church here, and their own personal cases, their own pathways here below. Lord, may they prove continually that thou art a faithful God, and thou dost sustain them and maintain them, and grant to them a sufficiency of thy grace to enable them to continue. We pray, Lord, for Zion, thy one church. Thou seest the sad and solemn state we're in the day in which we live. How low we are, how few gather in thy earthly courts. How little seems to be done. How little power is known and felt in the preaching of the word. And Lord, thou knowest what an exercise it is to those exercised souls of thine. Oh Lord, might it please thee yet to appear, that thou wilt arise for our help. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth, that there yet may be a building again of the walls of Jerusalem. Lord, we would not be unmindful of those things that thou hast done in the past week. Lord, thou hast heard the cries and the petitions of many of thy dear people. And Lord, as thou hast appeared, Lord, may we see in these things the fulfillment of thy eternal purposes toward thy people. And but Lord, we pray that as we are solemnly conscious of the wickedness of this nation, the evil which abounds, the wickedness which is so apparent, Lord, we pray that yet we may be kept to the throne of grace. For Lord, we know that thy judgments are abroad, and yet we thank thee for this sweet testimony that thou art a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. Lord, we pray that we might be humbled by it, but brought to look alone to thee, to direct in all our concerns, in all that is before us. Lord, we pray for this guilty land, and seek that thou wilt yet work mightily and powerfully in the government. Lord, thou seest the confusion that is apparent this day. Lord, we pray that thou wilt yet overrule all these things wherein thy name is honoured and glorified, and for the spiritual profit of never dying souls. Lord, we would not multiply words, for thou knowest our great need and the needs of the people. We pray that thou wilt come this night, and oh, may we lose sight of all else, and to have a glimpse of a precious Saviour, that we might know him in our hearts feelingly, our hope of glory. Lord, we would thank thee for all the many mercies to us, for indeed thy mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. And now as we turn to thy word, do come and open up the truth to us. Lord, do give the hearing ear, the understanding heart, but Lord, might it please thee to come in the power of the Holy Spirit this night, that something might be done to thine honour and thy glory. Do pardon now all our many, many sins, as we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 45. How can ye hope, deluded souls, to see what none e'er saw, salvation by the works obtained of Sinai's fiery law? Hymn number 45. Thank you.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the chapter that we read, in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 13, and the last three verses of the chapter, verses 35, 36, and 37. Mark chapter 13, the last three verses. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you, unto all, watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. The four disciples, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, had asked the Lord Jesus these questions as to when the end of the world would be and the time of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find set out in this chapter the evidences which will precede, these events that will precede that last moment when the angel in heaven, standing with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, will declare those words, time shall be no more. Now these words, the question was asked by the disciples, but we find the Lord Jesus Christ not only addressing his disciples with this answer in our text, but he says this, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And that is, that's addressed to every one of the Lord's living family. That is, as we are brought by the Lord's teaching of the dear Holy Spirit to know what we are and what our sins deserve, and have been brought to plead with God that he'd remember us in mercy. Everyone chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be found holy and without blame before him in love. And so, dear friends, this word is addressed to each one of us here this night, for it is to remind us that the time is short, and soon we shall have to leave this world. For some of us, we know it cannot be very long at all. But all that great need to know that we are found saved with that great salvation wrought out by the Lord Jesus Christ whilst here below in Gethsemane and at Calvary, where he stood in the sinner's room and place and stead, and endured the punishment due to his people for their sins as God's wrath was poured upon his beloved Son. He agonized, he groaned, he suffered under the weight of those sins laid upon him, and to walk in that path that thereby his dear people, given to him to redeem, might never know the solemn consequences of their sins, God's eternal judgment forever and ever when leaving this world. And so it is our concern, each one of us, to know that we are found amongst these characters whom the Lord set his love upon in eternity past, and to whom he displays the wonders of his grace. The exhortation is this: watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. But the exercise of every living soul is this: to know that our souls are eternally secure in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are found amongst those for whom he died, for whom he suffered and rose again, for the justification of his dear people, the evidence of it, and to enter into glory, to be found at the Father's right hand now, interceding for his dear people, pleading the merits of his all-sufficient sacrifice, his sin-atoning blood and glorious righteousness for the acceptance of his people. Well, the word of exhortation is this: watch. You say, what are we to watch? What does that mean? Watch. Well, my dear friend, we have in this chapter four times the Lord Jesus Christ uttered these words: take heed, take heed, lest any man deceive you. Take heed to yourselves. Again, he says, take heed, watch and pray. And dear friend, there are those exhortations of the Lord Jesus Christ addressed not only to those disciples, but to each one of us here this night. Are we concerned over our spiritual state? Truly concerned? You see, we sit under the sound of the gospel. We hear it preached Sabbath by Sabbath, weekday by weekday. We are warned of the solemn consequences of sins. We are warned that God is a holy and just God. We are warned that if we know nothing of a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer here below, our souls will be lost forever. And we are warned that unless we know the precious blood of Christ was shed for us, and that blood applied to our sin-stained hearts and consciences, what hope have we of reaching heaven at last? They're searching questions, aren't they? But my dear friend, a form of religion will never enter, we shall never enter into glory if our religion is but a form, an empty shell, an acknowledgement of the truth without any desire to know and feel the power of the truth in our poor hearts. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring a sinner, to humble a sinner, made conscious of what their sins deserve, and to be brought to the throne of grace and to plead with God that he would remember us in mercy, venturing to plead the precious name of Jesus for our acceptance. Do we know our need, my dear friends? You know, you dear young friends, there's a precious word in the book of the Proverbs, and it's addressed to those young in years, and it is, "They that seek me early shall find me." That's a wonderful promise addressed to those young in years, feeling after Christ, brought to know their need, conscious of their sinnership, and brought to see there is something that they lack, but that which they desire to know and have revealed to them. And you know, it's a wonderful privilege if the Lord calls a dear soul in their youth by his grace. Because you see, it's this, you know, the evidence is this, that most of the Lord's people are called by grace in their youthful days. There are a few that he calls out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light in middle life, and very, very few who are called in their latter days. We see the evidence of it, and oh, my dear friend, may it be an exercise to us to know that we are, to know if we are resting short. Oh, we fear lest we should be deceived. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, "Take heed that ye be not deceived." You say, what does it mean to be deceived? It's to be found resting short. It is to be found resting in a form of religion. It is to be deceived as to our spiritual state in the light of eternity, and to contemplate that awful condition when a person has gone through their lives, made an outward profession of their religion, satisfied with it, deceived by their own hearts, and then when coming to the end of the journey, to find that they know nothing savingly known and revealed to our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. Take heed that ye be not deceived. You see, the devil is that arch deceiver, and he'll deceive the Lord's people if he can with his subtle suggestions. Oh, he'll encourage them perhaps in a form of religion, when they seem quite content with the attendance of the ordinances of the Lord's house. They're found there when the doors are open. They sit in the pew, acknowledge the truth of it, of what they hear, and even can say that they delight to hear the gospel set forth, but not with any sense of their need of it. And to go on through life as satisfied with and to come short at last. Well, my dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ warns of these things. And oh, may we each be given grace to take heed lest we be deceived. But you see, the word goes on, doesn't it? Take heed. We read this. Take heed to yourselves. That is, that we might be brought to self-examination as to where we really are, where we stand in the light of eternity? Do we know a precious Christ? Do we feel our need of him? Searching questions, my dear friend. But what a mercy if the Lord has so exercised your heart and mine, bringing us into a concern and exercise over our souls. Oh, how we need to watch. The exhortation at the conclusion is this: take heed, watch, and pray. And that is where the Lord will bring his dear people, exercised and concerned over their soul state. They're brought to the footstool of mercy and plead with God for mercy, conscious that they deserve nothing at his hand, but pleading with him that he would appear for them and come and show to them that all their sins were laid upon a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer. Watch and pray. You know, dear friend, how much do we know of real prayer? That's a question, my dear friend, we need to ask ourselves. You know, where's those of us who pray in public? Oh, how exercised we are, that we might be delivered from a form of prayer, a repetition of familiar phrases, right phrases, seemingly gracious phrases. But unless those desires expressed accord with the desires of our heart, it but mocks God. It's an abomination in his sight. You say, well, how will I know that I really pray, that my prayer the Lord does hear? My dear friend, it's this: when the Lord brings us to the throne of grace, he brings us into paths, troubles, distresses, afflictions, temptations, to so exercise our faith and to bring us to plead with God that he'd remember us in mercy. Those short prayers are so effectual. Those cries that come forth from that burdened soul, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Thy Holy Spirit wrought desires in our hearts, and those desires, those prayers, the Lord hears and answers in his time and in his way. But this watching, my dear friend, we may look at it in this aspect of it. It's an exhortation to watch over our own hearts, our thoughts, the things that we do, the things that we say. You know, the dear psalmist, he was exercised about it, wasn't he? He said, set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. The real prayer coming forth from a heart conscious of their real need. And those, my dear friend, are wrung out of a heart in great need, and they come as those petitions come forth with faith in exercise in their hearts, pleading that the Lord would remember them. Watch and pray. Watch over our spirits. The thoughts, are they all right thoughts? My dear friend, let us be clear. Our thoughts represent the condition of our hearts. The words that we speak of the condition of our hearts. Solemn thought that is, isn't it, my dear friend? And you know, when we look within and we're reminded of those many thoughts, oh, that we're ashamed of, how the devil with his evil suggestions, those are thoughts are stirred up within our hearts, which we know are sinful and an abomination in God's sight. He brings us there, my dear friend, and the devil will seek that thereby he might distress our souls and destroy that life, if ever he could. But he never will, and he never can. Watch, watch, and pray. My dear friend, where is that exercise in your hearts? When we look back over the day, when we come before the Lord at the end of the day, we look back over many sins, many sinful thoughts, words uttered unadvisedly, words uttered in the heat of a moment. We have to come and mourn over them, repent and plead with God that he'd remember us still, venturing to plead the merits of his all-sufficient sacrifice. Watch and pray. You see, there's that combination, isn't there? If we're found rightly watching over ourselves, and only as the Holy Spirit enables us, we shall do it effectively. But there will be a spirit of prayer accompanying it. Watch and pray. Why? The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to his dear disciples in Gethsemane's garden. What did he say? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And you know how those dear disciples, yes, they loved their Lord and Saviour. Their desire was to witness that which he was to pass through. But their eyes were heavy, and the Lord Jesus Christ returned and found them sleeping. Take heed. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And you know, my dear friend, if you're rightly exercised about our spiritual condition, we shall know that exercise in our own souls as we journey through this wilderness. Watch ye therefore, for ye have not... Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Well, one's thoughts go to that parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They all possessed and considered they possessed faith. They all believed. 5 had oil in their vessels. 5 had not. But we find that solemn word in that parable. We find this. They all slumbered and slept. That is, the wise virgins as well as the foolish virgins. Now, what is the distinction? The foolish virgins were sleeping the sleep of death. They'd never known a precious Christ. They did not possess true living faith. All their profession was of their own imagination. They were sleeping the sleep of death, that death for which all mankind are born into this world dead
in trespasses and in sins. But what about those wise virgins who we read were slumbering and sleeping? My dear friend, they've got into a slothful state, a careless state. And you know, the Lord's people know that sometimes in their soul's experience. But you see, theirs was not the sleep of death. There was oil in their vessels. They possessed true living faith. And when that call of the bridegroom came, they all awoke. And then there was that realization of the great difference between the five wise and the five foolish. Well, where are we? Do we know something of that sleepy state? The Lord's people get into it, you know. And now, what are the circumstances? Well, it's when usually things are going quite comfortably with us. There isn't any particular exercise resting upon our spirits. We're not feeling our sinful condition. We are being drawn away by the things of time and sense. And it's then, my dear friend, that soul is in great danger, because the devil knows it and he observes it. And soon we shall find him very close at hand with his temptations. Yes, telling us that there is nothing to concern us. Our souls are secure. We are to carry on as we are in that comfortable state. Well, my dear friend, what a mercy if the Lord awakens that soul and shows to them that condition in which they're found, and the Lord brings them and makes them aware of it and brings them to his feet in real repentance and true confession. Well, it's a warning to us, my dear friend, that we might be found more lively in the things of God, but oh, with more lively in our desires after Christ, to know him and to be found in him at last. That's where it'll bring you, my dear friend, and that's where it'll bring me. Is it your chief concern, your soul's condition? Is it your chief concern as to where you'll spend eternity? Is it your great concern to know that Jesus came into this world to lay down his life, to redeem your soul from hell and reconcile you to a holy, holy God? It's a mercy, my dear friend, if it is, because if we're a child of God, we shall be brought there again and again in our soul's experience. Watch and pray. Watch. Watch over our spirits. Watch over our spiritual condition. But oh, to come often at the throne of grace in real confession, pleading with the Lord that he'd show to us and give to us a clear view of our interest in the Lord Jesus and what he has done. Is that your desire tonight, my dear friend? I hope it is, because it is the evidence of a child of God concerned and exercised over their own souls. Nothing else will satisfy your longing soul but a precious Christ revealed to you. And you know, every one of the Lord's people, ere they leave this world, they're going to be brought to know not only their spiritual condition, their desert of nothing at God's hand, but they're going to know this Saviour. They're going to have him revealed to them. They're going to have a precious seal in their heart that what he accomplished in Gethsemane and at Calvary, it was done for them. The exercise of a living soul. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Well, my dear friend, there's another watching we want to come to. And what is that? If we are graciously exercised and concerned over our souls and eternity, that child of God is brought to this to watch and wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that where you are tonight? I wonder if the Lord was to tell you and me that this was our last day here below, what effect would it have upon our hearts? Would there not be that exercise to know the dear Lord Jesus, to know that our sins have been forgiven and that we are reconciled to a holy God and that we have a well-founded hope of reaching heaven at last? Beloved friend, I believe it would. And what a consternation it would arise in some hearts. Oh, then how they would be like those foolish virgins, concerned over their condition, seeking to go out and buy oil for their vessels. And the bridegroom came, and the five wise virgins went into the supper, and the door was shut. Those foolish virgins came, knocked on the door, and sought admittance. But my dear friend, those who were found in Jesus Christ entered in through that door. The others remained without. You know, there are some solemn words in the Gospels. The Lord Jesus Christ said this: many shall seek to enter in, but shall not be able. What a solemn word that is. You see, those who confidently sought and expected to receive a blessed reception, to be found deceived, resting upon a false foundation, resting their hope upon some false notion. And should not be able. Many are called, few are chosen. Well, my dear friend, may the exercise in our hearts be to know that we are found in Christ, chosen in him, and we have the Holy Spirit sealing in our hearts that all our sins have been pardoned, put away forever, and that soul reconciled to a holy, holy God. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. My thoughts go to that word in Peter's epistle. He said, give diligence that ye may be found of him in peace, without blame and spotless in that last great day. And my dear friend, if we are rightly exercised, that'll be the chief concern in your heart and my heart, to know that we are found amongst the Lord's people, that we have the witness of it in our own poor hearts, sealed thereby the work of the Holy Spirit, that our well-founded hope, that expectation, will one day give place to sight, to be forever with the Lord Jesus. Watch and wait for his appearing. And you know, then that child of God sees the world but vanity, empty, no comfort in it, looking back over a life, ashamed in over our past lives, of how we were so taken up with the concerns and pleasures of it. Oh, we see now the foolishness of it. One thing is needful. One thing is needful, and that is to be found in possession of a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified for you and crucified for me. Do you know it? Do you have that sweet token in your heart? Do you have a humble hope that the Lord has made it known to you? Because if he has, my dear friend, that's that precious seal that all of the Lord's people have before they leave this world, the pardon and forgiveness of all their sins. Watch therefore, and what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. Well, my dear friend, may it be the exercise of each one of our souls. It's a reminder that soon we shall have to leave this world and of that great need to be prepared for that everlasting and eternal habitation awaiting for his dear people. There they will sing the song of the redeemed, those things that the Lord has made known to them in their lives, here below, being the subject of that song. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And that sinner will stand in that last great day as we are called to account. What will be the answer? My dear friend, all of the Lord's people will plead the precious blood of Christ, his glorious righteousness, in which each one is clothed. They stand perfect and complete in him. And dear friend, the dear Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge, he'll not deny his people then. He knew every one for whom he died, for whom he laid down his life, whose souls have been redeemed, and each one will be around his heavenly throne, singing that glorious song forever and ever. Well, will you be there? Will I be there? What a searching question that is. May the Lord so cause us to search our own hearts and to not be left to rest until we know that we have a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus and him crucified for me. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Fred Ince next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 174. Jesus is precious, says the word. What comfort does this truth afford? And those who in his name believe, with joy this precious truth receive. 174.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do bless thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening, but that which has been of thee, do cause to abide in our hearts. Watch over us now as we part. Be with us through our various journeys here below, and prepare us each for eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.